Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, for many of us as South Africans, when you make your way to various filling stations or even consider how it is that you get electricity, think energy and think one leading energy company in South Africa, one name should come to mind. Sasol, primarily because it is a proudly South African and homegrown business, but one that has been able to extend its reach to many parts of the continent, even the world, and of course come back to enforce its focus on evolving given the shifts and times when it comes to energy, both in the renewable energy space, but also capitalizing and making use of the natural resources that we have, such as coal. Tonight, we're joined in studio by the Group CEO of Sasol, Mr. Simon Baloyi, who's going to give us some insight on the back of the business's Capital Markets Day that was held today. Such a pleasure to see you and have you in studio, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Gugu. Thank you for the invite and good evening to your listeners.
I must tell you, I'm excited for this conversation, and so much so are some of my colleagues, because earlier on this evening when I told them I'll be speaking to you, the phrase was used. Amakluk.
It's an iconic Sasol advert.
Right.
Yeah, that remains with us forever.
Exactly. Your marketing team might not be proud or happy with me right now because it is quite a legacy campaign, but one that still sits with the hearts of South Africans, as you've mentioned. And I think this is quite telling of where Sasol is as an organization, focused on ensuring that it enhances its positioning in terms of energy in South Africa. And the strategy that you highlighted today really speaks to the energy mix that we're trying to get right in South Africa. Let's just start there, especially in terms of the goals you have ahead of 2030.
Yes, no, thank you. Let's start on the 2030 business. I mean, we did today unveil what we call a value accretive decarbonization. It's a decarbonization plan that allows us to reduce our carbon intensity on the back of building a new sustainable energy business. And that energy business goes into renewable energy. We did uplift. We used to have a cap of up to 1.2 gigawatts of renewable energy, and we have lifted that up to 2 gigawatts. Because Sasol does have captive demand. But we won't stop there. We did indicate that as the market starts to become saturated and matured, and more energy becomes available at cost-competitive prices, we'll then move and take that energy and convert it into sustainable chemicals and energy products.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe let's also give us, for a lot of us as South Africans, when we hear these numbers, gigawatts, kilowatts, 2 gigawatts is huge in terms of a new target that you've set for yourself. How many households can this light up?
I mean, already we have 757 megawatts of power, and that can light up 800,000 households. So 2 gigawatts will go to almost double that.
Yeah.
So almost 2 million households that you can light up with that amount of energy.
That's definitely a feat in a market like South Africa that require. But maybe let's deep dive into the strategy to make it personal and personable to South Africans. This also speaks to recent partnerships that you forged with a few players in the South African industry to ensure that renewable energy is also something that can be experienced, especially from an entrepreneurial point of view. Because we always think you need the solar on your roof, you need the inverter in your garage. But there's alternative ways of accessing renewable energy, which Sasol is enabling.
Yes, I mean, when we unlaunch, we relaunch, I mean, our strategy today. This strategy, remember, we have communicated it before to the market.
Yes.
It is anchored in strengthening our foundational businesses, both the Southern Africa and international chemical businesses, and this value accretive growth and transformation. And renewable energy is at the core of that. So with Sasol being able to procure this energy at this large scale, we then enable, I mean, for now, together with our partner Discovery, we are making that energy available to SMMEs. Mm-hmm. And that allows them not to need their balance sheet to secure this energy. Because you remember, in order for you to build a wind turbine at large scale or all those massive solar panels, you need to commit yourself for a long term. Sasol can do that. And the back of that, we can then service this market together with Discovery.
100%. And I think this is important for many South Africans to note, because essentially it's from the wind farms in the Eastern Cape, Msenge, if I'm not mistaken. And that's essentially wheeled or transported to make sure that through the Eskom grid, we can actually access this clean energy. I'm keen to capitalize on this and actually speak about your capital allocation, specifically on your emission reduction projects. 4 to 7 billion rand is going to be spent on these initiatives. Help us contextualize what this looks like.
Yeah, we did speak about the emission reduction roadmap.
Yes.
So that took to the initiatives that we are going to spend money on, making sure that we can meet the 30% greenhouse gas reduction.
Mm-hmm.
So we did reveal that number in 2021. So what we did today is we reconfirmed our commitment once again to the 30%. However, we are doing this differently. We are doing that by making sure that we increase the energy efficiency in our operations, more of that. Then we increase the power. We're going to then be able to procure more power. And that procurement is not just only signing PPAs. We said Sasol will go into signing PPAs, but also taking equity in those projects. So that allows us to also build our own power business going forward.
Mm-hmm. Which is critical in a market like South Africa, where we are trying to ensure that we diversify our energy base, but also have sustainable energy over the long term. Let's talk about a key resource which Sasol has and continues to make use of. Coal. As you've mentioned, you are looking to ensure that you prioritize your decarbonization strategy, but that's a shift, not shutting down. These are some of the comments that you shared in the briefing earlier on today. Help us contextualize the operations in Secunda and, of course, how this does still prioritizes coal, but ensuring that it's a cleaner effort to keep the business going.
Yeah, to answer that question, let's take a step back a little bit. In the South African context, Sasol is a major player with a contribution of up to 5% into our GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And directly and indirectly, there is 1.4 million people that depends on Sasol for jobs. Because some of the people we employ directly, some of the people are employed in other companies and they make products for us or inputs into our process. Then other people take the products that we make, and then from those products, they then continue to manufacture. I mean, for example, we make ammonia that is then used for fertilizers, and then the farmers take the fertilizers and plant. We also make explosives that are then used in the mining industry. So you can see that Sasol is a cornerstone organization.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, it means we have to transition this company in a very, very pragmatic way. And how we do that, we balance what our environmental commitments are with what is required from a transformation point of view. So we did commit ourselves to transform the organization. However, how we do it, it has to create value. And we will stick to that value-accretive transformation.
Yeah, let's talk about that and transformation as well, because typically what comes to mind now is ESG. From an environmental point of view, you've made it clear what the goal and the objective is ahead of 2030, reduction of your carbon emissions by 30%. Let's talk S, because you've touched on that. 1.4 million jobs are reliant on Sasol as a business and an entity. But I'm keen for us just to zone in a little further. We never know who's listening from Secunda, from Vanderbijl Park,
yes.
Just for us to contextualize the kind of efforts that Sasol has implemented in investing in societies and communities there.
Yeah, let me state that the offset that Sasol is embedded in the communities where we operate. And I did today thank all those communities for hosting us, because without them, Sasol would not be the entity that it is. And that is why in our transformation agenda, we are making sure that we can preserve the jobs and we can transition. We transition from a fossil fuel-based energy company into a renewable, sustainable-based energy company. However, that is done with what we call the additionality through the process of additionality, which means we don't shut down our operations. We just transition.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about coal, we use coal firstly to make products, and we also use coal to make electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So the coal that we're using for electricity, we're going to back that out by renewable energy, and we can produce much more than what we need. Then the coal that we use in the products, that we have to keep. We have to keep that. And you've seen we've introduced the process of offsets, market offsets or market mechanisms,
yes,
where we can use those market mechanisms to offset the CO2 from our operations where we're using coal to make products. And those products are super critical and essential to day-to-day lives for many of our countrymen, but also beyond our borders.
100%, especially from a production and industrialization point of view for economies.
Yes.
Let's shift to LNG for just a moment, because this also gives us some scope and an understanding of the operations you've had outside of South Africa. Let's contextualize this, because we understand Mozambique has been a very challenging environment for you to operate in. Lessons learned, shifts that are taking place in the strategy, and does this alter your view about opportunities that might remain on the continent?
No, to the contrary. I mean, Mozambique has actually been good to us and South Africa in general.
Mm-hmm.
You remember there was a gas resource of, 1 TCF of gas in Mozambique, southern Mozambique,
mm-hmm.
and that's coming to an end.
Yes.
And there is now, the latest developments have shown that in the northern Mozambique, there is reserves of up to maybe 100 TCF. So mm-hmm. there is gas in northern Mozambique. but it's very far from where our facilities are, about 2,000 kilometers. So what this means is that South Africa has to transition to LNG because gas is finishing the south.
Exactly.
And we did previously indicate that by 2026, we were going to stop supplying gas into the market. Mm-hmm. However, we invested more money and we're able to extend that to 2028. And what it does, it creates a window where the country can then transition to LNG. We did look into the market. We realized that everyone, the gas market is heated. Everyone is now trying to use gas to power as a backstop to renewable energy.
Yes.
So then you can't easily just build a gas to power plant. And what we then did, we further extended the window to 2030 by making available methane-rich gas, which we have in our plants. We produce that methane-rich gas from coal. Mm-hmm. We use it in our own process. So we can use it to also further extend that window so that the country can, in a very cost-effective manner, transition into LNG. So Sasol is a partner. I mean, there we're working with Eskom. So you can see that our approach to what we're doing now is partnership. We're working with Eskom on gas to power, working with Discovery on renewable energy. We're working with England DBS on biodiesel.
Yes.
So that's what the new Sasol is all about, making sure that we don't walk alone.
100%. I like this theme, making sure that you don't walk alone, and of course speaking to collaborative efforts in making sure that energy is reached in terms of mix, but also a diversified approach and a sustainable base that we also touch on. I do want us to come a little closer to home, because we've touched on your operations for investors, those who want to know the economic contribution that your business makes to the economy, but also the nuances of your experience in other markets outside of South Africa. As we look across the road and outside our window, you might notice that there's a Sasol retail fuel station, and it actually speaks to how many South Africans interact with your brand. We commented on my colleague Glenn Lewis earlier on mentioning Amakluk, and I think this perhaps might be something nuanced and that we can emphasize. It's just your reach in terms of the retail distribution that you have, and most importantly, how it all comes together. The next time we see a Sasol truck on the road approaching a filling station, what goes into all of that to make sure that we have fuel in our vehicles?
Yeah, to give you a quick sense, Sasol makes almost 30% of the country's liquid fuels.
Sure.
We produce between 8 to 9, sometimes 10 billion liters per annum of both petrol and diesel. So we are a significant producer of petrol and diesel. And then we sell actually to the other players. I mean, we sell to the other big, other majors who are in the country as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have our own retail network. It's not as large as the others, but it does surely punch above its weight. We only have, 400, up to almost 400 of those stations. However, if you look at our market share, it surpasses the number of stations that we have, because Sasol is a well-loved brand. I mean, from the Amadlugluk to Banyana Banyana, everywhere where Sasol is, we are making sure that we touch the lives of all the ordinary South Africans, because we are. I mean, we are a global company. We've got a global presence. However, this is our home, and it will always remain our home. Therefore, as this home faces one of the critical energy transition, Sasol will be there as one of the champions that will make sure that we can, in a pragmatic way, without leaving anyone behind, we can all transition into the future.
100%. I am aware that you mentioned we are focused on homegrown business, but definitely with a global focus. And that does speak to other markets that you've operated in the past, the US and Germany. And we know that some of those have been mothballed since then. But I'm keen to understand, in a world with so much complexity and volatility, how are you, I guess, positioning your business to still remain resilient despite the economic headwinds that might be at bay?
We have what I call the centers of gravity, and that allows us, we've got operations in the U.S. Even though we mothballed some assets, we still have a significant presence in the U.S. in terms of the chemicals that we can produce there.
Mm-hmm.
We still retain our operations in Germany, even though that's affected by geopolitics.
Mm-hmm.
It is our job as the Sasol team to make sure that we can manage all those changes and the volatility and put forward a business that can survive.
Are you worried about Trump?
it's both a risk and opportunity.
Gotcha.
Because we do have, operations in the U.S. as well. And those operations have advantage feedstock. We can actually, take an advantage of that. However, we were importing some of the chemicals from South Africa to the U.S. Those, very, very crucial and critical chemicals for the U.S. economy as well.
Mm.
So we hope, with the tariffs, they will be able to work something out. However, we have what we call a tariff war room and a mitigation plan, where we'll be able to, pass some of those costs into our customers because they need those products. So we're very upbeat and optimistic that we'll be able to navigate whatever that will come our way from the tariff side.
100%. Mr. Baloyi, there's so much more we can deep dive into, and even the wealth of experience that you've had at Sasol as an institution, given, geesh, you're more than a decade of experience within the organization. You've been in the top role now for just over a year. You've given us some insight regarding your Capital Markets Day, what it means for us as well as South Africans and individuals who interact with your brand. But your closing comments and remarks for us to be mindful of as we journey towards 2030 and commitments that you can make as Chief Executive.
Yes, as we journey towards 2030, I just want to assure, all our shareholders, all our partners, all our stakeholders, that Sasol is going to become and will always continue to be a force for good, making positive impact, delivering value to our shareholders, whereas at the same time taking the communities along with us. We will be the partners of everyone in a just transition to make sure that in a pragmatic way, we deliver value to our company and our shareholders and take our communities and people along.
100%. I think you've summarized it succinctly. So much to explore about the business, your operations, and of course, the reach that you have. But most importantly, the critical role that you play within the South African economy and influence on our lives as day-to-day South Africans. I'm told that we might have a voice note, but you started off this conversation talking about Amagluk-luk. I hope your marketing team will still be happy with us on the back of this one. But this is how we sign out our interview today. Simon Baloyi, CEO of Sasol.
Windy. I'm gonna check it something very smart, my. I'm a poco. Haha, Stransky. Wow. Yeah.
Windy.
Oh, bafana. What are we getting? I'm gonna pull the jaw open and the fish. What are we getting? Laduma, William.
When we feel proud of South African performance.
Oh, my cricket boys. Sorry, Ansi. Sorry, boys. Next time.
Perhaps we should remember which great South African performer got there first.
I'm a kluk-kluk. Sasol today, Sasol forever. Siabaya.
Sasol Super 100. Windy. Pump up your performance.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.